Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of this show. Joining me tonight is Wendy G. Young. The last time she was on this show, she discussed the spiritual grid manifestation technology. From reading Wendy's blog, I see she has been immersed in empowering and most recently authenticity. In order to be empowered, authenticity is an absolute must. So all the themes that run through our lives have a common thread, often ebbing and flowing in importance and significance. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Wendy G. Young. Hello, dear Wendy.
Hello there. Thank you for having me on the show tonight.
It's wonderful to hear your voice again, because it has been a while.
It has been. It's like a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, I just keep plugging away on this wonderful show. So I did like your video. It was very, you know, it was very authentic. And you say you've done a few more of those, huh?
Well, you know what I did, but that was, I think, the fourth or fifth video that I created over the weekend. I think it was Sunday evening I created two or three, and then Monday morning I got up and I created another one or two. And I really, honestly, I was trying to keep the video, I was trying to get it to like under 5 minutes. I did not see. The shortest I had was about 7 minutes. The longest was 13. I mean, I'm really trying, working on creating videos that where I can deliver my message in a shorter time. And, you know, each time that I delivered the message, it got shorter. So I was really happy about that. But I got to the point where it was like, you know what, that's enough, you know. Let it go.
Well, it sounds like you have been having quite a challenging journey in some ways, and I'm sure you've learned quite a lot, too, from the experience.
You know what? My journey, my whole life has been a giant journey. I have friends that over the years, you know, maybe they haven't seen me for a while, and they'll say, you know, we'll talk, and I'll tell them what's been going on, and they'll be like, whoa, I missed out on a lot, or Wendy, there's always something new going on in your life, and it's true. It's like every single time that, I mean, my life, it's constant change. That's the way it has been. You know, my entire adult life. I think in the earlier, when I was younger, it was, there was always a lot of change. And I've kind of grown accustomed to accepting it. I actually came here to live a very full life from, you know, all levels of experience. And in as much as that's what's in my chart, I'm hoping that we can outgrow our charts. I've also heard that as well, that we can actually outgrow our charts. I've actually had to do a lot of personal work on myself to get to where I'm at. And I think that's why the past 2 years has been the way it has been for me. If I don't think that I don't feel as though it could have been any different just because of the inner work that I've had to do. So,
Well, difficult times do bring on quite a transformation in our lives. And, you know, everything, you can have an attitude, though, that everything, as the life lessons come about, you can have an attitude of love or fear. So if you have the attitude of fear, the experience becomes very difficult and very rocky. But by trusting the divine and being in a state of love, I think it becomes more like the easy world that Julia Rogers Hamrock talks about.
Well, you know, I know at my core that I'm being taken care of by divine. When I look back over my life and I see the kinds of experiences that I've had where in one day five things might happen to totally shift my experience, you know, like I'm thinking about the day that my stepmother passed away almost 5 years ago. It had been kind of challenging up to that point. And then on that very day, my dad called me in the morning, tell me that she had passed away. And, you know, of course, I lost it. mostly because I was worried about my dad. I mean, we knew for years we were expecting it, but we could feel it was getting closer and closer. We just didn't know what day. But then on that very day, I remember I got three inquiries for ergonomic consulting. That's the business that I was in at the time. It's like, wow, out of the blue, on the day that she passes away, I get three inquiries, and two of them turned into business. You know,
right.
things like that have happened to me, as I know has happened to everybody else, if they've actually taken a look or really been aware and paid attention to that. That's how the divine works.
Yes, it is a beautiful sign. It's a sign of, wow, you know, when somebody passes, it's not a tragedy. It's and that proves it. I don't know how it proves it, but it does.
Well, it just, what it does tell us, to me at least, is it shows that there is a divine plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
One area that I can look at and say that. And in the past, you know, several years, as I've gotten more mature and had more experiences, it just speaks to me even more. I mean, there is a divine plan. And, you know, sometimes we need to talk about it, refer to it. It's there. It's just there.
Yeah.
And I can just release that idea, just trust it, and know that we're always taken care of, then we don't have to live in the fear.
Well, no, and just as an example, too, one of my, my mother's best friend is passing, you know, is in the process of passing. And it is tough, you know, we're all saddened, but on the other hand, I can feel my mother's presence more now than I have in a long time, because she's hanging around kind of waiting for this event to take place, because it will be a grand reunion on the other side. And you can just feel the opening up of all the dimensions and an event such as a passing. And so from one of our limited perspective, yes, I really will feel sad when she departs, but she's not really departing. You know, we're all kind of here together and there together. It's all really, it's a sensitivity lesson and learning how we're all kind of balancing all these dimensions.
That's right. So, you know, what I want to do, it'll be real easy for me, for you and I, to talk about this kind of stuff. That stuff's real easy, that I can sense that by me doing that I'm not going to be talking about what I really know that I need to talk about tonight.
Yeah, go right ahead, my dear. Go right ahead.
It's too easy to shy away from the difficult, authentic stuff.
Yeah.
And I know for myself that I have been living authentically for a long time in many ways, and my life purpose calls for me to be, well, if I want to experience a life that works, that really, really works, it calls for me to be raw and generous with my sharing. And that's why I was as raw as I was on the video. At first, I wanted to share this with you on the radio show, because was going to, in a way, it was putting me behind a screen. And once I realized that, then I knew I couldn't do that. I knew I had to just go ahead and create the video. I couldn't wait, just needed to get it out, you know, put my face there and say what I needed to say.
Yeah.
For those people that have not seen the video, what I discussed is about the journey, not in major detail in 7 minutes, but the journey that I've had in the past couple of years in the area of my finances. I discussed how I'd saved my house from being sold, from being foreclosed on 3 times, and that I had another opportunity to save it, which I did. I found out yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things that I said on my video is that it's like, it's time for something bigger than this, you know, instead of just saving my house. It's been a long process. You know, we're going through, I don't know how many homes are at risk of being foreclosed on right now. You know, I don't have any idea, but it's a very large percentage of the homes. And,
yes.
You know, it's all across all walks of life. I looked online yesterday, and I saw a number of homes in my zip code, in my area here. And I was, like, very, very surprised to see that. You know, in my neighborhood, a whole list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the thing is I don't know how many of these people have been working at this like I have. It's not the same kind of housing market that it was years ago, where if you miss 2 or 3 payments and you don't create some sort of a way to get back on track, then you're out of the house.
Uh-huh.
And this has been going on with me for 2 years because of the havoc, the chaos that the housing industry is in right now. You know, there have been a number of moratoriums on foreclosure. There have been a number of incidents where people have been put out of their homes unfairly. And so, you know, it's very interesting to be involved in this process at this time. Mm-hmm. I get, obviously, you know, if somebody's home, if somebody's at risk of losing their home, it's because more than likely it's related to a financial issue that was caused by something, you know, the market, the economy, losing a job, a failed business, or you know, somebody's health, you know, that impacted their finances.
Right.
And as a collective, you know, and I heard this, I don't want to take full claim to this here, but what I heard somewhere is that the reason that we're going through this housing issue with homes being foreclosed on or at risk of being foreclosed on is the larger collective issue of people healing their money. And so it's sort of like, you know, you hear about I got to get my financial house in order, and so it relates to the house. You know, it's getting that inner house in order, that inner security, the inner empowerment to create the life that, you know, is going to take care of you in the outer world.
Yeah.
And what I want to say is that I have been following my guidance all the past couple of years about what to do and when to do it. And I have to say that sometimes it wasn't even fully conscious. Sometimes it was just, I don't even know that I want to say unconscious, just that sometimes it seemed like, intellectually, it seemed like, oh, I ought to take an action or I ought to do this. But I was kept from doing it for whatever reason. We can call it procrastination, or we can call it something inside of me that just knew not to take an action at that time. And so here I am 2 years later, still in this house. So I'm going, holy moly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you must feel
very grateful to still be there. You must really love it there.
Yeah, I absolutely adore my house. I remember when I bought it 10 years ago, and I remember when I walked in the door, I fell in love almost immediately. I looked at 25 houses over a few month period and walked into this house, you know, and it was like, okay, that's it, you know, putting an offer down on this house. And I am very much I'm a very artsy kind of person, so when people walk into my house, they look at it and they say, it's you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yes, I love this house, and, you know, my goal is to actually have it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Have it paid off
mm-hmm.
within the year. And that's a very
oh.
long. Yeah, it's a very
congratulations.
Long, it's a very, like, it's a big goal, but it's I do believe that it's doable if I allow myself to fully get out of my way and step into my purpose and really go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't fully know exactly what that's going to take. It's a large sum of money.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a fair amount of money on this house. It's a pretty large mortgage but what I want to share is that I'm asking for divine to flow through me right now, because I want to be sure to share the important aspects of my journey this year
mm-hmm.
that have not only gotten me to this place, but have what I see is that this was all necessary. My journey the past 2 years has been very necessary. It's been important for me because it allows me to experience things in my life that I've never experienced. I mean, I've had to learn how to stretch a dollar in a way that
mm-hmm.
I didn't know it could be stretched. Even in the early days of my business 25 years ago, I never
mm-hmm.
had that experience before. And so I've learned how to walk through the grocery store and really think very carefully. I mean, I've never had to think about, do I need this food, you know, or can I afford this food? But I've done
mm-hmm.
that. I've,
mm-hmm.
I've do that. I'm like, can I have a cashew or can I have an olive?
Yeah.
And you know, just the idea about just the paying the regular bills, you know, electricity and gas and phone. I've experienced over the years different times where, you know, in the office, you know, the vendor, the collectors would call and we'd pay the bills according to, you know, the one that was the most past due or something was maybe getting close to getting turned off. And in the past 2 years, it got even more intense than that. So it's
mm-hmm.
like, who knew that it could get even more intense than that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I get is that by me experiencing all this, I've been able to experience, like, very deep levels of what other people are experiencing. So when I am talking to clients or just others that I attract in my life, that are experiencing difficult times, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it has been that it has felt good.
Right.
But
right.
At the same time, I get why it was important for me. I'm also one of the things that I learned in the past year is that I am an empath. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I always, for years, I guess you can say, I could feel things in my body if somebody would discuss certain kinds of issues, health issues, or describe certain experiences or scenes, and I would always feel this little, almost an electrical current running up my legs, and I never really understood what that was. I just used to always say, my blood is curdling right now. And
mm-hmm.
So that learning that I'm an empath has helped me to understand myself on a deeper level and how I am here to be a facilitator for healing for others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the experiences that I have had have helped me to really, I guess, well, know it in my body, you know what it's like, and to be able to also discern when other people's stuff is working through me or if it's my own stuff. So I'm learning how to discern when it's me feeling bad or me feeling other people's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And another very key point that I want to share is that for me, I just recently, I guess you could say, have owned the fact that I've always been very empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I look back and I see as a child, as a teenager, I was always very empowered. I used to take a lot of action. And it was very rare that I actually got what I wanted. But it's like I wanted to experience life in bigger ways. You know, I wanted to be cheerleader. I wanted to be president of the group that I was in. And I wanted this and I wanted that. So I kept on going after it. But somewhere after I left home, and even this year, I lost track of the fact that I was empowered. So it was like I was taking action all these years, but I didn't see myself as an empowered being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not in touch with who you are, that can get in the way of manifesting things that you would like to experience in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that I'm sharing some of this stuff for perhaps somebody who might be listening that might have had any experience that might even be remotely similar.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, it's a good
idea.
It's always a good idea to look over your whole life to see the patterns so that you understand where you are right now, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that I was able to realize this is I started to write stories from my life because I know that I'm meant to be a speaker, and I started to write stories just to start to flush out some information. And when I think I was on about the fourth or fifth or sixth story, and all of a sudden I noticed the pattern. I saw, oh, my God, I was always empowered. I was always taking action. I never gave up. I mean, it didn't matter. I could have lost an election, forgot my chair in front of a group of an entire gym of students, or did my chair perfectly in a huge gym of students, and not get any of it, not win, not get any of what I wanted. But I kept on taking action, and I grew up in a home where I was not valued. I was not heard. I was not valued. So what was that about me taking action all the time on something that, you know, I wasn't ever able to get as a child. And even if I did win, I didn't even know if my parents were going to be able to buy the cheerleading outfit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I had something in me that just was grand, and it's that thread of empowerment that is me.
Mhm.
'Cause, and we all have it. We just have to find it sometimes.
Right. Right. Well, there's no excuses really for people who think that they look back over their childhood and they didn't always, you know, they had maybe some rough beginnings and, you know, maybe the family was poor, et cetera, et cetera, and they use that as an excuse. But it doesn't sound like you did that at all or are doing that at all.
No, I didn't. Things happened to step in that kept me from doing what I wanted. I remember that I wanted to be in band. I wanted to play drums like Karen Carpenter. It would have meant that my parents would have had to buy a drum set, but that's what I wanted. And the band teacher said, no, I couldn't do it because they needed to give that to the boys. So then they said, well, you know, you can play the flute or the saxophone. And I was like, no, I didn't want that. I wanted the drums. So I got out and I joined choir, which, you know, just was required a little red skirt. I think that, you know, I kept on reaching for what I wanted. And if it didn't work, well, then I found a way to, you know, get out and go do something that maybe wasn't going to cost my parents money. Though I don't think I knew that I was doing that. I just knew what I wanted, but was always directed to where, you know, that maybe the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. So have you ever learned how to play drums?
No, I haven't. And one of the other things I always wanted was a piano as a child. I always begged my parents for a piano, for singing lessons, for art lessons, for anything that was artsy, and I never got any of it. I got one art lesson with a friend. And so as an adult, about 8 or 9 years ago, I actually bought a piano, and I've taken lessons twice, and I have not actually mastered that. I've actually thought about selling the piano. It was a childhood dream. It's going to take a considerable amount of practice in order for me to play it. So I'm not really sure if that's for me. Maybe I ought to just pursue my art.
Right. Just the other day, we had some friends over, and I played the drums. I just loved it. It wasn't the kind of traditional drum set that we're all used to seeing, but it was like there's, you know, drumming circles with bongo drums and so forth. And this gentleman who's in his 80s is just a tremendous drummer. And he brought over all his drums, and we played music and drummed. And I would have done that, but my violin E string broke. So instead of not playing any instrument, I played the drums, and it was just fantastic. Wonderful. Liberating. Synchronistic.
Yeah.
You would say that. So.
Yes. Exactly. So I want to share that a big part of my healing in the past couple of years has to do with standing for myself, for taking a look at the relationship that I've had with my mother and my sister, and then the relationship that began to develop with my niece. I have shared this with other people in the past year, and one in particular said, "Oh my God, Lindy, that is exactly what I needed to hear." And by doing the healing, that's what led me to realize what my purpose is. That it is that I'm here to be authentic. That I'm here to share raw and authentic. And so I want to share that, you know, for years I had a relationship with my sister that it just has not been good. I left home when I was 18 to go to college, and she didn't tell me until I was about 40 that she thought that I had abandoned her.
Oh. How old was she when you left?
15.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was very difficult. When we were growing up, it was very difficult to live in a house. It was very, it was just difficult. I took care of my sister and I took care of my brother a lot. And when I went off to college, my sister took that as me abandoning her. And she still holds that in her body. She still looks at, me as really leaving her behind. And what happened was, it was on an energetic level, I bought into that. And so from the time that I was maybe 22 when I got home and realized something was not right with my sister and I, up until my early 40s, I begged her to be in my life. I begged her to be my friend, to be in my life, but it wasn't going to happen. She just didn't want to be around me. She excluded me from her life. But not only that, she was just very angry with me, but never would share until one day when she did. And so then we had a few years where it seemed as though we were getting along. And then about almost 3 years ago, after the hurricane here in Houston, I shared with her that I was not going to be going to her graduation in Austin for her master's because it was my 50th birthday weekend, and I already had other plans. And she stopped talking to me. It took me a few months for me to realize it. And just a number of other things that I was looking at in my life with relation to her, I realized that I had been begging her to be in my life for a long time, that I was always walking on eggshells. I wasn't feeling free to say what I need to say. And being a person that is here to be authentic and to speak my truth and to have others speak their truth with me, I try to do that. And you know, naturally, I was naturally trying to live my purpose, but wasn't able to. So I got to the point about 2 years ago where I stood for myself. And it took me months and months and months to get to the place where I was okay with it, you know, where I could speak my truth and not feel bad about what she thought or what she might say about it, because I knew that I had to speak my truth. I knew I didn't abandon her. I knew that there were big, huge lessons in this for anybody who was willing to jump in and take a look. And what I discovered is so many people are afraid to feel their feelings. That's the key, feeling our feelings in this day and age right now. Feeling our feelings is the key to our success.
Yes.
I've had to go through this whole deal with my house and with deep sadness, with deep, so many tears about not being accepted into my sister's life. And it wasn't until I was able to stand for myself that I was able to feel good inside. I was brought back to early childhood where things happened that were very upsetting, and I've worked through all that. Mm-hmm. And how can somebody who's not empowered save her house?
Well, if you're not empowered, you can't really save your house.
No, you can't. But you also have to realize that you're empowered so that you can be conscious about it.
Yes.
So, you know, I want to say I love my sister, I love my mother, and at the same time I've learned that, you know, as I am understanding this whole bit about being an empath and developing what I have been told is called our mirror neurons in our body, we have to be very careful about the people that we hang out with. So I've let go of a number of people out of my life in the past few years, and so each time that I take an action like that, it makes me stronger.
Yeah.
And I'll say something else, that being an entrepreneur, I mean, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, you know, ever since I was a little girl, how I felt it, and entrepreneur for 27 years. So during this whole time, the concept of really taking big, huge action to get a job is not something that I really even connected with or really thought about much. So even though I was empowered, there was this disconnection between empowerment and a job.
You mean like going out and getting a job?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which I have been looking at and ever really since speaking about my situation the past couple of years on video last week, it, you know, all of a sudden I have two job offers this week. You know, I'm willing to have a job.
You mean like a job?
Yeah, a sales position. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've actually opened myself up to consider that. I realized that it's not something that I could have for a very long time, but at the same time, I realized it's something that I could do while I kind of figure out my angles in business, because I could speak from many angles. I can do many kinds of things. I live constantly in divine inspiration, as opposed to some people who don't have any ideas. I'm flooded with them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my challenges is knowing which one is the right idea to do, and being able to really stick with it, because it's very easy for me to lose. I get bored very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a challenging one.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's different ways of having the gifts fall into our laps, and I know that I at heart am an entrepreneur also, but I've been working in the so-called workplace for 27 years now, and I would dearly love to be able to step out. And I think I will be able to, if not any other way, by retirement. But there's so much to learn by going into the workplace. But it's a very interesting observation to see how people view time and how they get there and they don't really want to be there. I mean, that's one thing I certainly have noticed. And that gets boring, and, you know, that gets boring. So I can see what you mean, that might be trying at times.
Yeah. I mean, I had a job for a couple of years before I started my own business 27 years ago, and I've been successful over the years.
Yes.
You know, I say I've been moderately successful. And my work in the out in the ergonomic world was pioneering. You know, I was considered one of the early pioneers of ergonomics in the ergonomic product area, and had one of the very first websites, and that's who I am. I'm very pioneering. That's part of my, you know, it's in my chart. I kind of blazed the trail, and it's hard. It's hard to be a trailblazer.
Yes.
It's very difficult. It's just part of who I am. And so, you know, but the thing is what's more important than anything is keeping my house. Keeping my house is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've looked at it and I said, well, you know, maybe Divine doesn't want me to have my house. Maybe Divine wants me to let go of my house, because if and when I'm willing to do that, then I can move on to the next big thing, because in my life I've had a lot of very large things fall into my lap. And some of those instances is because I let go of something. Maybe I moved out of an office and then all of a sudden something big came to me, or I was going to let go of my business a few years ago and just close it, and all of a sudden I had an idea to sell it. So, you know, I'm just really listening the best that I can right now to take the actions that are for my highest good.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've done a lot of talking. Do you have any specific questions that are coming to you that you want to share? I just want to make sure that I share what I meant to share. Today.
Well, there's some comments here in the chat room, and we were discussing how family, the only way to get into this dimension so far, maybe there's other ways that we don't know about, is through the family. So But they do tend to be the most difficult relationships, I think, from my experience anyway.
Yeah,
they bring up things that we need. Really, they bring up the things that we really do need to work through.
Yes. And, you know, we all have different kinds of issues. Some of us have bigger, deeper issues to heal. But, see, mm-hmm. we came here on this physical earth to separate so that we could unify.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's why we came here. We came here
mm-hmm.
for the contrast so that we could go after bigger desires. And in the process, we have to heal ourselves. We have to go within and let go of the layers of hurt and disappointment and sadness and anger and grief to get to the core of who we really are.
Right. I have a question for you. When you're talking about writing your life story, how do you go about, or how do you recommend going about that?
Well, I have a list of stories, of experiences from my life that I'm going to be writing about. And I think the way I'm going to do it, I mean, I've already started to write some of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at this from a couple of different angles. One, I thought about just starting, you know, from my early childhood years and just writing about what my life was like
mm-hmm.
in those years and just go forward, you know,
mm-hmm.
writing each story. Now, I'm writing right now, preparing myself for a speech that I'm going to give in a couple of weeks, and it's mainly going to be experiences from my business life in the past 25 or so years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Had a lot of very interesting experiences, the things that just kind of happened out of the blue, things I wouldn't have expected, but also things that I couldn't have seen coming because I wasn't in touch with my intuition. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stories that I'll be sharing that had I been in touch with my intuition back then, I wouldn't have made the choices that I did.
Yes, we can save ourselves a lot of time, whatever that is, but, you know, we can really save ourselves a lot of time by trusting the red flags as they come up, you know, things that we think, well, this doesn't feel right, but you do it anyway, and then it takes years to undo it.
Yeah, I have a lot of those, and, you know, and the funny thing is, I'm looking here in my adult life, and I'm going, you know, do I still always make the right choices, you know, or the choices that are going to shorten my distance to from here to where I want to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the best way to do that would be to really deepen the awareness towards your inner life.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So sometimes it's really now about, okay, what's just the common sense decision here? And,
The common sense.
Like, for myself in the past year, I'll tell you that I have done different things based on what just felt right. You know, I have looked for jobs. I've taken a couple little odd jobs here and there. And I've worked on, then I would get new ideas for product, and I would work on those and create those. So it's just been a real journey. That's really all I can say. It's been a real journey, and nothing that was ever good was. I mean, how do I want to put this? You know, as much as we want to say life is easy, and, you know, it's meant to be easy, and it's meant to be that, and, you know, we can have everything we want. Yes, we can,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, we have a journey, and it's about learning how to enjoy the journey, knowing that the things that are happening that are not so pleasant, not just intellectually knowing that there's a reason for it,
but really taking it in and really embracing it and immersing ourselves in the experience that may not be so fun and enjoyable, but allowing ourselves to really heal it, but learn and learn from it at the same time instead of resisting it. We've got to be.
But I was going to say, I said feel it. You have to feel it, like you had said earlier.
Yes. Right.
Unfortunately, yes. People are really not really into feeling these days, and I think a lot of countercultural people are more into the natural way of living, I see so many people really hung up on pharmaceutical drugs and just alcohol. So when people do that, they are really, really putting a lid on their feelings, 100%.
That's right. And so what is that doing to their emotions? What is that doing to their physical body? How is that preparing them for later in life? I mean, if we're going to continue to bottle all the stuff inside, then it's going to be difficult to create the kind of life that we want. I have done an immense amount of work that was necessary for myself. There was a lot of stuff that was buried very deep inside from my childhood, from my growing up years. And then over the years, things that happened, you know, all that stuff got stuck. So it has been a real journey. We do have to do our work. We have to do our work. I mean,
yes.
we don't have to do our work, but in order to be really whole, it's necessary to do to continue our work. I will always do my work.
Yeah, it's helpful to do the work, and it helps with honesty and being real with people, and it helps with in the end, you know, just, well, the Velveteen Rabbit was real, you know, the whole fairy tale issues and the messages and story and so forth all point to being real and being who you are, and that would be yourself. So these things are very important for our evolution and our growth, and to just hide and just be miserable I think really in the end that I would prefer not having to always come back time and time again into this plane of existence. But I just don't know if that's part of what has to happen or not. But I would really rather not have to do it again.
or unless you come back, you know, and it's completely different.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with my life. I'm not saying that there is, but I see that there is so much trouble that people get themselves into that, which point exactly what you're talking about, not feeling, no common sense, and just looking outside of themselves for the answer, and not knowing even what their own answers are. This causes a lot of misery.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that I can say for myself is that by allowing myself to feel over the years, to do my work, do whatever has been necessary to feel better. I mean, when I'm talking, I'm not taking drugs or anything like that, but to do the inner work, whatever inner work was necessary, every single time that I did, I felt better. I felt like I advanced another level, another step. Now, with everything going on in my life right now, I have to tell you, I'm at peace. And it was a number of weeks ago, I remember just feeling just total joy, total bliss. I remember posting that on Facebook. And, you know, and then here it is. Then I create, you know, last week I create this raw video about my house and just in my life the past couple of years, and it's like, well, so wait, Wendy, were you lying? You know, were you not truly joyful? You know, yes, I was joyful. And at the same time, you know, I allowed myself to feel all my feelings from joy to, you know, the thing is, and when I was sharing about the video, I wasn't sharing from a place of fear. I was sharing from my core. This is what's going on. No, I'm not going to jump the joy that this is happening. I'm going to share from my core. I want it to be different. I want it to be better. And I'm going to do what is necessary to change the situation.
Yes.
And I do feel as though that my experience, when I look at everything that I've done in the past couple of years, the work, the inner work, the work that I've done over the years, and the actions I've taken in my business,
mm-hmm.
Everything that's happened, I believe, has happened perfectly. I don't see how I could have changed this because I had to heal myself from things that I didn't know that I needed to heal myself from. I didn't know that there were still a lot of things living inside of me from early childhood that I remembered, but I didn't know it had power over me.
Right.
And so, you know, in one respect, I could get upset with myself for not making different choices, but I look and I see how I've done the absolute best that I could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've done very well over the years. I was able to buy the house. You know, I've had large sums of money drop in my lap over the years. I'm being stretched this time. I'm being stretched.
Yeah, I think there are so many foreclosures now because of people's inability to pay their health care bills. I don't know if you're aware of that. And that's very sad in a society that is the only society, America is the only society that doesn't have a single payer health care advantage for their citizens. And that would allay that kind of fear that people have, that insecurity that people have about keeping and losing their homes. So to be in the position that you're in, I suppose you, and knowing that there are all those foreclosures in your neighborhood and so forth, I would think that, you know, you feel, wow, this is a connection with people who are suffering, and there's a great joy in that too, because you're feeling other people's angst, and that makes you a better person, I think.
Well, and of course, being an empath, yes, I really am feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, the way I see it, how can I be a really good coach or facilitator for healing when I don't understand the issue. I'm going to attract different kinds of people than other coaches and healers. We're going to attract our tribe who we're meant to attract. So I needed to go through this experience so that I could be here for those people that are waiting for me. I guess that's kind of what I've been trying to get to here, that I needed to create the space that I created last week with that video. I had a number of people contact me, some people that I know, we spoke on the phone, and they shared more candidly about their journey. I had a few people email me and tell me about their journey. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. By me sharing what I shared, it opened up the channel of communication. It created a little bit more of a safe place. That's my purpose, to create a safe place for people to come forward and share what they have been afraid to share. And
right.
How? And so I was actually really resisting it for 6 months. I'd known for 6 months that was important for me to do, and it took me 6 months for myself to find the courage to do that. Well, who wants to share about this kind of stuff, right?
Right, right. Well, once those gates are open, though, there's a great liberation there. I think I know that there is.
I do feel much different in the past week. I definitely feel different. I know that things are opening up for myself. And, you know, I've had many, many, many miracles in my life. Many.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what life's about. It's a journey. You know, it's miracles are everywhere. They're big, they're small, but even the small ones are big. The more that we can see the small miracles as big, the more bigger they get. Excuse my grammar.
Yeah. Right.
I did that on purpose.
Well, miracles are before us all the time, and we don't recognize them because they go through a slow process. And like where I work with little babies babies who are born preterm, as an example, they may go through a process of getting stronger and stronger, or else they die. But we had a miracle at the hospital where this child was on ultrasound, showed to have no lungs, no kidneys, no amniotic fluid. And the doctors, of course, were understandably bleak about the child's prognosis. So
yeah.
the mother wanted to know whether, also the baby was breached, so she wanted to make sure that the baby had turned so she could have a vaginal birth, even knowing that the baby would probably not live through the birthing process. So they did another ultrasound to see if this baby had turned, and suddenly they see that the baby has lungs, the baby has kidneys, and she has a full supply of amniotic fluid. This, in my opinion, was a miracle that had to be shown to these doctors. They have never seen a miracle like that. In fact, it's very rare to see a miracle like that, but they don't believe anything that anybody would ever tell them about a miracle that may have happened to somebody else, and they're just it's just the way they are. They're cut and dried. They're brilliant, and they do a lot of good work, but they're very difficult to penetrate with their egos and so forth. And this really is an amazing experience and then this little baby's name is Rose. So and she did end up in the neonatal intensive care unit, probably because, you know, I think she was maybe having some breathing difficulties, and suddenly the whole NICU filled up with the smell of Rose. Now, for those of you who do or don't know, Mother Mary is, when she appears often with that smell. So the whole place lit up with Mother Mary miracle kind of vibrations, and that is something that had to happen to those people. They don't recognize miracles that happen over a slow period. They don't recognize it. They minimize it. But this thing happened, and nobody could say it didn't happen. It is the most beautiful thing that I've heard of in a long time. I mean, wow.
That's pretty amazing. Yes.
Miracles happen all the time, but they do, but people don't recognize them. And it's about as simple as that.
So if that's the one thing that, you know, we could end this radio show with, you know, that miracles really are everywhere, and that the more that we can allow ourselves to feel our feelings, even though they're not so, you know, wonderful to feel, that there's a miracle right on the other side.
Yes, and then you prove that with not giving up about your home, and it's that story about the gold vein. How many people give up just before they reach the gold? I mean, let's be real. The gold is everywhere. And to give up, to ever give up is a mistake, and it's a stupid thing to do.
Yes.
But we've actually reached the end of this program. And
I'm really happy that you came on. Sorry, I'm having a little thing in my throat. I really, really loved having you on, Wendy, and it's great talking to you again because I really don't think we've been much in contact, and maybe we can stay closer in contact this time. So,
okay. Yeah, that was wonderful. I appreciate you having me on, and I hope that what I shared was for the collective good.
Well, we know that it is, and I certainly appreciate it, and we will get the transcripts out, you know, the replay of the show, and get it out on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera. And I will be giving you extra beautiful energy for the, you know, that you keep your home because I know that's what you want. And I think that you deserve to keep it. So that's probably not even the issue. I think the issue is that there's a greater thing at play here. Keeping your home is something you will do. So that's not a problem.
There was a reason I've had to go through this. I think that's the key. It's not because I made bad choices. This is my journey. I had to have this experience to go where I'm going, to do who I can be. I accept
that.
Exactly.
Good. So thank you again, and I'm going to be playing the music for Mother and Child by Claus D. Jensen from Denmark, who incidentally created this music for preterm babies, which is very synchronistic. Love to you, Wendy, and have a wonderful evening and a lovely rest of the week.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.